All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Dr. Steve and Dr. Terry Zinn, in loving memory of Steve's father, Albert Zinn Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim, on the occasion of his 18th yard site. Lay a soul as a schus rafua shlema for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther, and for all the wounded in Eretz Yisrael. May our soldiers be safe and secure. Yonason and Rachel Wolf, for a complete and lasting refuah shlema for Rafael Yitzchak Baruch Ben Esther. Shari and Sarah Walaski, and this is a refuah shlema for their grandson Zachariah Dov Ben Perel Shira. Ed and Iris Miller, in the schus of the holy soldiers of the IDF and the merit of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. And their week of learning sponsors, Joel Hasner, in thanks to the friends of the Israel Defense Forces who need our support in this difficult time. Also, yesterday's sponsors, which I apologize, I didn't have, our Daf Yomi sponsors for yesterday were Michael and Rachel Leibowitz, Le'ili Nishmas, Freda Chana Bas Moshe Aaron, and Ilan Roth, Le'ili Nishmas, his father, Yosef Ben Moshe, on the occasion of his 6th yard site. We hope them the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamos Lahavin Aliyah, the families Ein Nechama, our holy soldiers should be successful in all of their missions, and our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael should Emir Hashem remain safe and secure in the days ahead. With that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Samech Hei. Today's daf is 65. We are picking up on Samech Dalet Amud Beis 64b, and we're picking up four lines up from before the lines get wide. So we have a lot to do today. Remember again, the Mishnah was speaking about the interesting case of a man who was Mekadesh's daughter. Right, so the way it worked, that he was Mekadesh's daughter, and he had multiple daughters. He did not indicate, ultimately, again, which daughter he was being Mekadesh. So the Gemara says, really there are two cases. In case number one, he's being Mekadesh's daughter, Stam, right, just being Mekadesh's daughter. There he had older daughters and younger daughters. So the Gemara says, the older daughters are not part of this. Why? Because at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa, he doesn't have control over his bogeres daughter. Therefore, the issue is the ketana daughter. Which of the ketana daughters was he makadesh? Now, the Gemara then said that halacha lemaisa are actually only dealing with where there's one bogeres, one ketana. Well, if there's only one bogeres and one ketana, then halacha lemaisa, what's the issue? What's the issue? In other words, there's only one ketana. So the Gemara says, "Hakama asking, what's the case over here? Dishavisei shaliach." The case here, Rabbi says, where the father has two daughters, right? One a Bulgaris, one a Kitano. But the Bulgaris daughter, actually, we also remember we had this Gemara before. The Bulgaris daughter made her father her shaliach to accept Kiddushin on her behalf. So the Gemara says, what would you have thought? Kimakabel Kiddushin adaita didei kamakabel. Maybe when the father accepts Kiddushin, he's accepting Kiddushin on behalf of the adult daughter. Kamash malon lo shavik inish midi de istehano amine va'avid midi de leslehano amine. To which the Gemara answers, no, a person doesn't go ahead and forsake something or give up something from which they have hana in order to do something from which they don't have hana. Rabbi said, now what does this mean? So remember that halacha lemaisa, when a father is mekadesh his kitana daughter, who gets the kesef kiddushin, who gets the money? It's the father. As opposed to when he's mekadesh his bogeres daughter, who gets the money? The girl. So therefore, again, the pashtos, when the father is going to be accepting kiddushin on behalf of someone, the pashtos is going to do it on behalf of the kitana daughter because he benefits from it. Are we dealing with the case where maybe the gedola daughter said to her father, "Father, if you be my shaliach and you could keep the kesef kiddushin, afilu haki lo shafik inish mitzvah derami alei va'avim mitzvah delo rami alei." Nevertheless, I will say a person is not going to forsake a mitzvah that is incumbent upon him in order to perform one that is not incumbent upon him. So let's remember again when we had this gemara before, we spoke about this idea that the father is vested with the biblical right, and maybe even one could say certain respects responsibility to Mekadesh his Kitana daughter. See, even if he's going to get money from both of these transactions, at the end of the day, he's not going to forsake something that is quote-unquote a mitzvah. Mitzvah doesn't mean he has to do it. Mitzvah just means it's a biblical right given to him in order to do something that is not a biblical right given to him, but it's just stam shlichus. Sidra will say, what comes out of the first case of the Mishnah is, when a father has two daughters, one is a Bulgaris, one is a Kitana. The Bulgaris said to her father, "Dad, can you be my shaliach in order to accept kiddushin for me?" The kitana, it's his right. He goes, he's Mekadesh his daughter. Right? What happens? At the end of the day, it's not clear. It's not clear who he accepted Kiddushin for. So Halacha Maisa, we say, we assume, not we assume, the Halacha says, he accepted Kiddushin for the younger daughter. Why? Because since this is a mitzvah or a right that is given to him, therefore Halacha Maisa, we assume that is the right he exercised and not Kiddushin for the Bogeres daughter. Incredible. We'll say that's Kavaita. So Mishiyesh lo shtei kitim on a second wide line on Samach Aleph 64. Be supposed to remember again, now he came into this interesting case of a man who has two sets of daughters. So Rabbi says, so in this case over here, what was happening was as follows. Reuven is married to two women, Rachel and Leah. He has two daughters from Rachel, two daughters from Leah. What happened? So remember again, the Mishnah gave two cases. In case number one, here's what he remembers. I was Makadesh, my older daughter. My elder daughter. So Rabbi says, see, remember what happened then? What happened then? We weren't sure what does older daughter mean? What does older daughter mean? Now remember, there are multiple variations which then led to a machlokes. Rabbi Yossi said that halacha, well, actually it's before Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakhama said that halacha l'maisa, essentially when he was Mekadish, his older daughter, every single one of the daughters of Savi Mekudashas except the youngest of the youngest, right? Essentially, daughter number four. Rabbi Yossi said, no, only the oldest of the oldest ultimately, again, is Mekudeshes. So we'll say they have the same exact machlokes when the father is Mekadesh his youngest daughter. So what does that mean? Same machlokes, Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Shichon, I will say, now the obvious shayla is, why do you need both cases? In other words, they're both illustrating the same concept, right? Which is that Tanakama holds, we'll say, in other words, what's the fundamental machlokes? Tanakama holds that sometimes people make ambiguous statements. Rabbi Yossi holds, people never make ambiguous statements. So therefore, Tanakhama will say, when a father says his oldest daughter, you know, oldest could mean so many different things. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it doesn't. It means the oldest of the oldest. Same thing with youngest. So why do you need to illustrate this halacha with both cases? Utsricha, diashma, you know, in kamaisa, if it would have just said the first case of the blessing of the oldest daughter, Bahach kam Rabbi Meir dechevan deikazut ramina lahach gidola karila. Rabbi Meir is a Tanakama. Right? So ultimately, again, it's only in that first case that Rabbi Meir holds his position. Why? Because lamaisa, anytime you have a younger sister, you're called an older sister. Ava baha ema modi Rabbi Yossi diktana lahach kitana dekulu karilu. But maybe in the case of the kitana, maybe Rabbi Meir would agree with Rabbi Yossi that when it comes to the youngest daughter, the only girl called the youngest daughter is who? Mamish, the actual youngest. Be'ikmar baha, had it just said the same case, the youngest daughter. Baha kam Rabbi Yossi. That's when Rabbi Yossi says that youngest, who knows what youngest means? Ava baha, emodli Rameir. But maybe in the case of the older daughter, he agrees with Rabbi Meir. Therefore, tzricha. So it says the bottom line is you need both cases. Fine. The memra. They both say, here we go. The memra. Rabbi Meir savra machis inish nafshe l'sveika. Rabbi Yossi savra lo machis inish l'sveika. So we'll say, so now what comes out of this Mishnah, and as I just mentioned before, the fundamental focus is, do people make ambiguous statements? Right? That's our fundamental machlokes. So now, based on the Mishnah, what you're saying is, Rabbi Meir holds, people do make ambiguous statements. Rabbi Meir is a Tanakama. People do make ambiguous statements. And Rabbi Yossi says, people don't make ambiguous statements. Here's the problem. We see just the opposite. We see, in other words, we see opposite attribution. Where this nails into this. Hanoder ad ha-Pesach. So we'll say, let's say a person makes a neder. I make a neder. I'm not going to eat the cake. Ad ha-Pesach. Up until Pesach. So what does up until Pesach mean? Aser ad shi'agia. Okay, so ad ha-Pesach means up until the start of Pesach. What happens if a person says, ad shi'ehe Pesach? I hereby take a neder, not to eat cake, until it will be Pesach. So aser ad shi'yetze. So we'll say, so then it means you're offering cake unto yourself until when? Until Pesach is over. So Pesach is over. Now, ad pene Pesach. So we'll say, so now what happens if a person says, I won't eat cake, ad pene Pesach. What does ad pene Pesach mean? Now we'll say, literally means until I see the face of Pesach. What does that mean? Rabbi Meir Omer, asr ad sheagia. Rabbi Meir says it means up until the time that Pesach arrives. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ad Sheyetze until Pesach leaves. Now, we'll say, now watch what's happening over here. In that case, let's work backwards. Rabbi Yossi is saying until Pesach is over because Rabbi Yossi is not sure what does Ad Pnei Pesach mean. Doesn't mean up until the beginning of Pesach, up until the end of Pesach. So he errs on the side of caution and then says up until the end of Pesach. Rabbi Meir says, no, he's up until the beginning of Pesach. So what in this case, what do you see over here? Rabbi Meir is the one who says, people don't make ambiguous statements. Rabbi Yossi says, yes, they do. It's the exact opposite of our Mishnah. Don't worry about it. No, ultimately, again, switch around. The attribution in Nidarim is incorrect, and switch it around. Align the positions of the Mishnah Nidarim, ultimately, again, with our Mishnah, and really it should be that when you say Ad Pnei Pesach, really Rabbi Yossi says up until Pesach, and Rabbi Meir says ultimately, again, until the end of Pesach. So they were, Ayva Tanya, Kozia Klal Koshe Zmano Kavua, Va'amr Ad Pnei. Yet also we learned in the Braisa. Anytime you have something that is fixed, a fixed event, and you use the lotion of Ad Pnei, like we just saw by Pesach, Rabbi Meir Omer Ad Shiyetze, Rabbi Meir says ultimately again, until it's over, Rabbi Yossi Omer Ad Shiyagye. So I'll say this Braisa, this Va'atanya is being brought as a support to what we just said. Switch around the positions of Nidarim, namely in Nidarim and Ad Pnei, Rabbi Yossi will say up until the beginning, Rabbi Meir will say up until the end, because again, that aligns with our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says people do in fact make ambiguous statements. Rabbi Yossi says no, they don't. So that's just understand, which is just also such a fascinating machlokes in just how people talk, right? Rabbi Yossi says people speak in a defined fashion. People say what they mean and they don't use ambiguous or couch terms. Rabbi Meir says, what are you talking about? People do that all the time. People, I mentioned this many times, Rav Pam, Father Shiva Taradasi Hasad Vracha said, you know what the worst word in the English language is? The worst word? Whatchamacallit. Whatchamacallit. Right? Why? He says, if a person is saying whatchamacallit, it means they have not fully thought through what they want to say. And a person should never talk, should never say anything until they're 100% sure exactly what they want to say and how they want to say it. So that seems to be in line. It seems to be in line with Rabbi Yossi's position. People are defined and measured in what they say and how they say it. Rabbi Yossi says, no, they're not. No, they're not. So that's the machlokes. Okay, so here we go, we'll say. Let's go back there. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Amr Abaye, Abaye says, we'll say second to last line, Samech Talon, 64b. Amr Abaye, machlokes b'shtei kitei banos. The machlokes ultimately, again, is when you have two different sets of daughters. So we'll say aval. So remember again, the machlokis in our Mishnah, right? Reuven says I was makadish my older daughter, Biti Agdola, my oldest daughter or my older daughter. So remember again, the shaila is what does that mean? So the Gemara says that whole ambiguity is only when there are two sets of daughters. He's married to Rachel, he has two daughters from her. He's married to Leah, he has two sets of daughters from her. Aval, however, again, Abaye posits because achos. Let's say Ruvi only has one group of daughters. Let's say Ruvi is married to Rachel. They have three daughters. Ruvi says, I was Mekadesh, my older daughter. In that case, the Gemara says, Divrei Akol, Kidola Mamish, Kitana Mamish, and Tsois Bishma Karila. In that case, when there's one set of daughters, everyone agrees. Who's the oldest? The biological oldest. Who's the youngest? The biological youngest. And the middle daughter is referred to just as the middle daughter. So it's interesting. So the ambiguity only comes when you have two sets of daughters. But if you have just one set of daughters, then again, oldest means the oldest, youngest means the youngest, and again, if you're talking about the middle daughter, you'll be referring to her as middle daughter. Incredible. I'm going to read the bar mas la baye. Elamiata. We'll say tav of samechay 65a. Elamiata emtsoyes shebekas shnia tishtari. So I will say, if that's the case that halacha l'maisa, middle daughter, is always referred to as middle daughter, then even in the case of two sets of girls, ultimately, again, the middle daughter in the second set should ultimately be freed from any of this ambiguity, because bepashtos, she would be referred to as middle daughter. Hakam asking, and what's the case? B'she'en sham ele gidola u'kitano. I will say, the case that we're dealing with over here is not a case of three girls in each set, but rather, again, a case of just two girls in each set. So the Gemara says, B'she'en sham ele gidola u'kitano. V'achinam, starve, this seems to be the case. De'im Isa, because ultimately, again, if there was actually a middle daughter involved over here, so the Gemara says, De'im Isa de'ika, listenay, she should have been stated. Ulatameich, and according to that logic, Emsoz Shebekas Rishona, the middle daughter of the first set, Devadai Sveka Vasirala, ultimately Rambam says she is under the specter of this suffix, right? Because remember, again, we're not sure, is she the Gedola, is she the Kitana? So the Gemara says, Mikatanila, is she mentioned explicitly? No. Hachi Hashta Hasam, was a first wide line, Samechemil Aleph 65a, Hachi Hashta Hasam, Tana, Kitana Dida Li Isura, Vuhua din lahach de kashisha mina. So we'll say the way that the Mishnah is written is ultimately, again, the Kitana of that group is Aser, and the one who is older than her is under the cloud of this ambiguity as well. Hacha im isa diika nisne. But in our case over here, if there really was a middle sister, she should have been mentioned more explicitly. Amali Rafuna Brid Rav Yoshua L'Rava Ha Pesach Dechi Kat Achaz Dami Upligi. Here we said the Pesach case, we said before about Nedarim, is the equivalent of having one group of children, and yet again we see that Allah Chalamayim said there is still the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Amali Hasam Belishna Da Amakim Upligi. We both say by the Pesach case, we both say that was the case of Ad Pnei Pesach. A person makes an edit, I won't eat cake until Ad Pnei Pesach. What does that mean? So both say that's a machlokas and something else. Hasam belishna da amak kamiflagi. Both say that's just a machlokas and verbiage. Mar savar ad pnei pesach ad kamei pischa. One opinion says ad pnei pesach means up until the arrival of pesach. Umar savar ad mifni pischa. And the other opinion says no, it means until the end of pesach. Good. So both say, so bottom line, I will say, how do we paskin in this case? So in general, in this case over here, where let's say again you have Reuben, let's focus on the court case in the Mishnah, where you have Reuben going ahead. You have Reuben going ahead and saying, I was Mekadesh my older daughter or my younger daughter. And the case in the Mishnah is he has two wives, Rachel and Leah, let's say three daughters with each. So what is the halacha? So we'll say the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yossi. Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yossi. That people make definitive statements. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, when a father was mekadesh his older daughter means the oldest daughter. She is the only one who is mekudeshes, the rest are not. When he says my younger daughter, younger means youngest daughter, and the rest, there's no suffix regarding. And that's how the Rambam paskins, like Rabbi Yossi. Incredible. We'll say a very tremendous Moser Haskil for us also about how to be careful with how we speak. Right, that Rabbi Yossi is modeling for us that when we speak, we should be measured, and when we speak, we should be precise. Also, you know, if you think about it in relationships, how often is friction created because people make open-ended statements, right? Or people make ambiguous statements. In life, it is so much better just to say what you mean, to say how you feel, and to be directed in your words. Try to eliminate ambiguity from how you speak. Try to eliminate the whatchamacallit factor from how we speak. We should only speak when we know what we want to say and how we want to say it. And especially when interacting with our loved ones, we should try to speak in a way that doesn't leave our words open to interpretation, especially negative interpretation, but rather what we speak should be a clear conveyance of how we feel and what we truly mean to convey. Incredible. Says the Mishnah, Homer the Isha Kidashticha. Listen to this case. Right? Reuven goes over to Rachel. Right? Reuven says, Rachel, I was Mekadesh you. V'hi omeres lo kidashtani. She says, no, you didn't. It's a little awkward. So the Gemara says, who aser b'krovo sal, v'hi muteres b'krovo. So this is an interesting case. So I will say, he is not permitted to marry her relatives, but she is permitted to marry his. And I will say, this Rashi points out over here, this is the concept. Look at Rashi. Rashi is a little bit further down on the page. Who aser b'krovo sal, v'shavinu alei chaticha di'isura b'hoda'asa. So I will say, this is, we've seen this concept many times throughout Shas, Shavye anafshe chaticha di isura. We'll say, sometimes I make a statement, and halacha l'maisa, my statement by itself is not enough to create realities for other people. But who is it enough to create realities for? For me. So if Reuven goes over to Rachel, he says, I was mekadesh you. And Rachel says, no, you were not. Right? So remember, they're not married. They're obviously retarded. There's no edos. They're not married. However, because he said that he married Rachel, therefore what? He is usher to marry any of Rachel's relatives. So he can't marry Rachel's mother, can't marry Rachel's sister, can't marry Rachel's daughter. Okay? But she, on the other hand, Rachel, is free and clear. So she could accept kiddushin from his brother, from his father, from his son, and there's no problem. Similar case, he omeres kidashtani. She says, right, Rachel is over to Reuven. Reuven, you're mekadesh me. V'omer lo kidashti. He says, nope. Who mutter b'krovosal? So all same was just the opposite case. He is permitted to marry her relatives. V'asur b'krovam, but she is not permitted to marry his relatives. Third case. Kidashtich. Ruven says Torah alaz makadishu. V'yomeres no lo kidasht elabiti. No. Sorry, you might get a little bit confused. People say like I look like my daughter all the time, but right, you are makadish me. You are makadish my daughter. You are makadish my daughter. So what's the halacha? Who asar b'krovos gedola? So remember, now he's persistent. He says, no, I wasn't mekadesh her, I was mekadesh you. So I'm going to say, once again, he is not permitted to marry her relatives. Who asar b'krovos gedola? U'kdol mutras b'krovah. She, Rachel, is permitted to marry his relatives. Who mutar b'krovos kitana? He is permitted to marry the relatives of the kitana. U'kitana mutras b'krovah. Now I will say, the kitana is permitted to marry the relatives of Reuven, right? Because the Kitana, remember again, is not making any counterclaim. Next, Kidash Tias Biteich. Reuven says to Rachel, Rachel is Mekadesh your daughter. V'yomeres lo Kidash Ela Osi. Rachel says, no, you were Mekadesh your daughter, you were Mekadesh me. Who also Bikrovos Kitana? He is not permitted to marry any of the relatives of the Kitana. U'Kitana Mutaras Bikrova, but the Kitana is permitted to marry his relatives. Who Muta Bikrovos Gidola? He's permitted to marry Rachel's relatives. Ugidolo asa bekrovav, but Rachel is prohibited to marry his relatives. So we'll say, so again, all of these cases, all of these cases are the same. Right? So bottom line, when someone makes a claim that they're married to someone else, remember again, that claim by itself does not create the halachic reality. Why? Because it's just one person saying something, right? There's no edus, there's nothing else. So l'maisa, the only thing that claim does allow for is shavi anafshe chaticha di isura. At the end of the day, halacha l'maisa, you prohibit yourself ultimately to the relatives of the woman whom you are claiming you are married. And again, the reverse case works as well. If a woman claims that she's married to a particular man, doesn't create kiddushin, but does prohibit her to the relatives of the man she claims she is married to. I asked the Gemara, the Avi's kasha utzricha. Why do I need all these cases? Why do I need all of these cases? See, here we go. Says the Gemara, utzricha the only the ashmuyan gabe didei. Let us listen to this. I would say, halacha lemaisa. Right when ultimately again when Reuven goes over to Rachel and he says, listen, I was mekadesh you. Rachel says, no, you were not. So what's the halacha? So he is prohibited to her relatives. She is not prohibited to his relatives. So I need that case. Why? Listen to this is great. Suicha, deshen gabe, didei mishum gavra lo ichbasle. You know, sometimes guys just get married, right? In other words, that it could just happen that lamaisa again, lo ichbasle. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, gabe didei, kiamar kidashtich lo misra ihi bikrovav, mishum diihu shakuri mishaker. The gavrolo ichbas le'im osar asma b'krovoseachinam. But I say sometimes men lie about this stuff. Apparently, they'll just claim that they were married to someone. They weren't really married to someone. Rabbi say for one simple reason. Why? Because it's going to sound strange. It doesn't impact a man so much, right? Why doesn't it impact a man so much? He can marry more than one wife. Okay, so he's going to be usher to the relatives of this woman. Fine, right? There's more, what is it? There's more fish in the sea? More fish in the sea, right? So it's fine. So it'll be us, it's our relatives, but fine. So therefore, by a man, you could see why we would not take this statement so seriously to prohibit the woman as well. However, aval ihi, ema ilav dikim ibidibura, lo havis amris, velisir ihu bikravosel. I would say when a woman makes the claim, right, the woman says that you are makadishmi, I would say that's much more significant. It's much more significant, the claim like that. Like, the stakes are very high for a claim like that. We would think, therefore, by definition, a woman would never say that, unless, of course, it's true. And therefore, when she makes that claim, not only should she become prohibited to his relatives, but he should become prohibited to her relatives. Kamash malon! Women sometimes make untrue statements as well. Like, that's the kamash malon. Same times that a man might be flippant in this statement. I would say, do not comment on this. I see the cross conversation happening, right? I just want to say, so sometimes, right? So ultimately, again, sometimes the statements will be made as well. Sometimes everybody makes flippant statements that aren't actually truthful. Good. Let's go back there. Next, kidashtich v'hiomeres hasulam. So why don't you the next case? So the Gemara says hasulam li'itzrich. So we'll say. Remember, the next case was Reuven claims. Reuben claims it was Mekadesh Rachel. Rachel says, we're Mekadesh, we're Mekadesh my daughter. Shabbat says, so listen to this. I would have thought as follows. Since Midoraisa, the Torah gives a father the ability to Mekadesh his daughter, I might have thought Midrabanan, he knew all the day, Vitisar Barta Bidibura. I might have thought that maybe Midrabanan, we believe a mother to say that her daughter is Mekudesh. As Kamashmala, no, we don't. Okay. Kidash des bidech. Hasun was what I need this next case. So remember again, this is where Reuben says, I was Mekadesh your daughter. Rachel says, no, you were Mekadesh me. So what's Allah? Hasul Amali. I did the Tanaha, Tananamiha. Once we quoted the first case of the daughter, we quote the second case of the daughter as well. Okay. So what's it? So bottom line, all the cases are necessary because each of them has their own nuanced difference. But bottom line, they're all operating on the same halachic principle, which is, when you create Isser for yourself, you create a new reality for you. But that new reality cannot impact anyone else. Good. Now, see, this opens up another interesting point over here. So, Gemara says as follows. Itmar, Rav Amar Kofin, Ushmul Amar Mavakshin. Rav says we force Reuven to give a get, and Shmuel says we request from Reuven to give a get. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? Which case is this going on? Ilema Aresha, if you want to say it's the Resha, so Rabbo say, Lav Kofiniko, Velo Mavakshiniko. Now remember, the Resha case is where Reuven goes over to Rachel. This is Rachel. We're married. Rachel says, no, we're not. So Rabbo say, what's the impact of Reuven's statement on Rachel? What's the impact of Reuven's statement on Rachel? Zero. Remember, the impact is on Reuven because Reuven can't marry her relatives. But there's no vestige of marriage over here. So there's no forcing him to give a get. There's no requesting of him to give a get. There's no get. Ella a seifa. So I'll say, maybe it's on a seifa. So bishlamim of actions. I understand ultimately, again, we request. And I will say, the seifa, Rashi says over here, da'amra kidashtani de'baiget. So I'll say, the seifa they're referring to is really case number two. Where ultimately, again, Rachel says to Reuven, you are Mekadesh me. So the Mishnah says, in the case where Rachel claims you are Mekadesh me, and Reuven says, no, I wasn't. So remember again, I will say, what did the Mishnah say? What's the impact of that statement? Rachel says to Reuven, you married me. Reuven says, no, I didn't. What's the impact on Rachel on that statement? What's the impact? She's usher to his relatives. He's not usher to... So now the Gemara introduces, now the Gemara says, by the way, Rav says, in that case, we force Reuven to give her a get. Shmuel says, we request from Reuven to give her a get. So the Gemara says, so bishlamam mevakshin l'chayis. I understand you could request from him to give her a get. Elakofin amai. But I don't understand, how can you force Reuven? Reuven's claiming I never married her. Right? Reuven says, I never married her. So how can you force Reuven to give her a get in that situation? Amar lo necha le itzar b'krevei. And I'm both saying, now you say to yourself, Reuven, what's the big deal? Just give her a get. Reuven says, no, it is a big deal, because the truth is, I've been dating her sister. You know, so like, if I give her a get, then what? I become prohibited in her relatives, to her relatives. So Lamai says, not just stam, just give her a get. There's a ramification for that. Ela shmeisa ha-dadi itmar. Rather, Rabbi Osa kind of collapse these statements together. How so? Amar Shmuel, mevakshin mimena litein get. So Shmuel says, Rabbi Osa, in this case, where Rachel comes along and Rachel says like this, right? Rachel says, Reuven, you married me. Reuven says, no, I didn't. So now we'll say, what's the halacha? So first of all, the core halacha is, she is prohibited to his relatives, he is not prohibited to her relatives. But, now there's a follow-up. What's the but? Shmuel says, we request from him to give her a get. Look, you've got a lady claiming, Rachel's claiming that she's married to Reuven. Reuven said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never met you before in my life. Right? So now we ask Reuven, okay, maybe just give her a get. That way that just erases any vestige, any possibility that something's going on over here. So Amarav, Innasan get me asmo, Kofin osa litein ksuvo. Oh, listen now, watch this. So Shmuel says, we request a get. Rav says, by the way, if he gives a get of his own volition without being asked, then we force him to give a ksuva. Now listen, what's the pshat of that? What's the pshat? Because if, right, Rachel's claiming we're married. Reuven is claiming no, we're not. But then Reuven just says, I'll just give you a get. Now listen, if Reuven gives her a get of his own volition, kind of what does that indicate to us? Something's probably happened over here. So if you gave her a get of your own volition without being asked, then we're going to force you to give a ksuva as well. Incredible. So if Marnami... So as you have verses, Amrav Acha Bar Adam Amrav, Amrile Amrav Acha Bar Adam Amrav Hamnuno Amrav Kofin Umivakshin. We force and we request. So the Gemara says, Tarti? How does that work? Kofid umavakshin. So the Gemara says, Hachi kamar mevakshin mimeno litein get. We ultimately ask him, to give a get, because again, that just erases any possibility of anything happening over here. Vim nasa mi'atzmo, however, again, aloha l'maisa, if you went ahead and gave it of your own volition, Kofin also thinks suva. It's mostly interesting, right? So in other words, if he doesn't give a get of his own volition, we ask him to do so. Now, if he refuses, what do we do? Nothing. We ask him. If, however, he gave a get of his own volition without being asked, that tells us that maybe there's a little something going on over here. And therefore, aloha l'maisa, we force him to give ksura. We'll say, you know, if you look at that phrase, kofinum of action, we'll say, it's such a good phrase in our avodas Hashem. Right? That how does a yid kind of go ahead and approach his service of Kodesh Baruch Hu? Kofinum of action. We'll say, you have to approach one's relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's kfiyah. There's an element of compulsion. We're soldiers, right? There's kafalim harkigigis. Kadosh Baruch Hu suspended the mountain over us. There's a sense of duty. And I will say, because he has to start with a sense of duty, because if my relationship with Hashem is just because I want to, what's the problem with that? What happens when I wake up one morning and I just simply don't want to? So there has to be an element of compulsion in my relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's kofin. Or mevakshin. But then ultimately, again, there's a part of me that wants to do it because I want to do it as well. There's a bikush. But kfiya, the sense of duty, the sense of commitment, the sense of obligation, that has to come first. And then ultimately, again, the mevakshin, the willingness to commit, that ultimately comes after. I'm Rav Yehuda. Hamikadish be'ed echad. In Choshesh and the Kiddush. So now, remember, all of these cases, right, the beauty or the fascinating part of all of these cases is there's no Eidos, right? The Mishnah is operating in a case where one party, right, says, you married me, right? Reuven says, I would marry you. Rachel says, you married me. So again, essentially the overarching principle is Shavi Nafshei Chaticha Disura. Person could create a state of Isra for themselves. Fine. Now we've also seen that halacha l'maisa, when Rachel says, you married me, we request from Reuven to give her a get, just to be done with it. Reuven gives a get of his own volition, then without being asked, that tells us there's something going on over here, we force him to give a ksuva. Next case. Amar Yehuda, hamekadish be'ed echad. It's an interesting case. What happens if a person, right, Reuven is mekadish Rachel, in the presence of an eid echad, one witness. What's the impact of being mekadesh a woman in the presence of an eid echad? So what's the halacha? In choshesh and the kiddushin, Rabbi Yehuda says it's meaningless. In other words, eid echad is the same thing as doing kiddushin in front of no one. There's no impact to an eid echad. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, more actually we'll catch up later. So the Gemara says, in choshesh and the kiddushin, babinei Rabbi Yehuda, shnei emodimai. Wow, listen to this. Let's say, what about the following case? Reuven and Rachel, right, both admit that they are married to each other. You know, so it sounds like a strange case. Like, everything is fine. There's no problem over here. Yeah, no problem. Right? Reuven says we're married, maybe even happily. Right? Rachel says we're married, most probably happily. Right? And then what happens? And the Eid Echad says, yes, they're married. So you have husband and wife agreeing that they're married. And the Eid Echad backing up this claim. Is that enough halachically to tell us that there is a valid marriage in front of us? So my, what's the halacha? They asked Rabbi Yehuda this question. So in velov rafia biyadei. So sometimes Rabbi Yehuda said yes, sometimes Rabbi Yehuda said no. He wasn't clear about the halacha. He wasn't clear. Say itmar. So we'll say, let's analyze this for ourselves. Rashi says over here in velo lahaya machzik bidvar of lo the isra velo the heter pam mshamar hein upam mshamar lav rafia biyadei velo haisa muchzekes hora azu biyado. Wasn't sure. Sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no. He wasn't sure. Itmar Amrav Nachman Amr Shmuel Hamekadish Be'ed Echad in Choshesh and Lekidushin. If Reuven is Mekadish Rachel in the presence of an Eid Echad, ultimately, again, we're not Choshesh for the Kiddushin. The Gemara says, Vafidu Shnehem Modin, and even if both of them admit. So both says, now the Gemara is making a definitive statement that an Eid Echad by Kiddushin, even when both Reuven and Rachel admit, so to speak, that they are married, it still doesn't work. Still doesn't work. So the Gemara says, "Eisvei is a kasha to this Eisir Rav Rav Nachman, Rav Rav Kasha Rav Nachman." How Omer Isha Kidashtich? Back to our Mishnah. Reuven says to Rachel, "I was mekadesh you." V'Omer Lo Kidashtani. She says, "No, you didn't." So what does the Mishnah say? Who has to be krovo? Sevi Mutaras be krovo. He is prohibited to her relatives, but she's permitted to his relative. Now let's analyze this. V'Idika Edim. Now, if there are witnesses here, Amai Mutaras be krovo. So then, of course, we'll say if there are witnesses, then why would she be permitted to his relatives? V'idaleka edim, if there are no witnesses, amai asa b'krov osel. So we'll say, if there's no witnesses, then why should he be prohibited to her relatives? Rather, it must be elalav be'ed echad. It must be that halacha l'maaseh, there's an eid echad. There's an eid echad. So you see from here that an eid echad does work to some degree. To which the Gemara says, no, how come I asking? What's the case? Kigon do amrla kidashtich bifnei ploni uploni, right? Bifnei ploni uploni uploni. I'm sorry, bifnei ploni uploni. B'halchu lahem lemedina sayam. Interesting, I will say. The Gemara suggests that the case, the Mishnah, is where Reuven says to Rachel, "I married you, and I was mekadesh you in the presence of two witnesses. Those witnesses are no longer here." Right, they went overseas. So therefore, I'm going to say there's no eidos involved in the case in the Mishnah. Say sveli mar zekasha hamagarushes ishto. So both say so again. So therefore, remember, what are we trying to figure out over here? We're focusing on a simple case. Reuven and Rachel both claim they are married to each other. The only corroboration of their statement is in eid echad. That is the eid echad in this case where you have the agreement of husband and wife. Does that create a halachic marriage or not? Say, Isi Gemara's kasha was an interesting case. Hamagar shesishto. They both say, watch this case. Reuven and Rachel were married. Reuven and Rachel got divorced. Then what happens? Velana ima bapundiki. Reuven and Rachel stayed in the same hotel one night after they were divorced. After the divorce, so he says, what's the shayla? So b'shamer om enosuicha mena getsheni. So Beishamai says that halacha l'maisa, they don't require a getshen. I will say, now, what's at play over here is, did they have relations, right? And if they have relations, essentially we look at those relations as a second act of kiddushin. Now remember again, a couple that gets divorced can get remarried as long as what? The wife has not married anyone else in the interim. So I will say, so now they were married, they got divorced, now they're sleeping in the same place. So now, so the shaila is, do we assume that they were intimate with one another, thereby affecting another act of kiddushin? So Beishamai says no. Beishamai says no. There's no need for a second get. We assume that ultimately, again, there was no bia for the sake of kiddushin. Beishamai says no. We have to assume that ultimately, again, they were intimate with each other, and that bia was for the sake of affecting kiddushin. They both say they could choose to stay married. When Beisila says they need another get, what Beisila says is, if they want us to, Mazel tov, you know, they could definitely stay married, but Lamaisa, should they want to go on and marry other people, would require a second guess. Hey, Chidami, what's the case over here? Idi ika edim, if ultimately, again, there's witnesses, my time of Beishamai. So, how did Beishamai say they don't need another get? Idi leka edim, and if there are no witnesses, my time of Beishilal. What's Beishilal's logic? Elalav be'ed echad. So, therefore, it must be that what? It must be that halacha lamaisa, it must be halacha lamaisa, that there is only one witness. And using that logic, so the Gemara says, Ema seifa umodim biniskarsha mina irusin. Ultimately, again, everyone agrees that when they are divorced from irusin, she'ein tzvicha hemena get sheni, that there is no need for a second get. Why? Mipnei she'ein libo gaspa. Now, I'll say it's interesting. The only time where we are concerned, or we're choshesh, that they were intimate with each other is when Rabbi Osei, when they had a previous intimate relationship. Now again, husband and wife only live together after nisuin. So if you have a case ultimately again where they were divorced from erusin, which means they never lived together previously, then there's no reason to assume that they were intimate with each other this time as well. But if you think that eid echad is believed, mali mina erusin, mali mina nisuin. Who cares if they got divorced from erusin from nisuin? There's an eid echad. That should be enough to say that another marriage occurred over here. Elachama askinon, what's the case? Interesting. Kigon de'ika edeyichod veleka edebia. Most of the case over here is Reuven was married to Rachel. They got divorced. Now they're alone together in the same hotel room. So now Rabbi says, so what's the shaila? Now we don't have any eidos that anything happened. All we have is eidos is that they were alone with each other. So we'll say, so what does that mean effectively? And I just want to point out to here, It sounds like there's something illicit. There's nothing illicit that's happening over here, right? In other words, the shaila just is like, do we assume the fact that they were alone with each other means that there was bia, and therefore against second kiddushin? That's the shaila. So Beishamai Savri, Beishamai says, we'll say Amud Beis Lo Aminon Hein Hein Edi Yichud Hein Hein Edi Bia. So we'll say, here we go. So Beishamai says, we do not say that Eidos for Yichud is the equivalent of Eidos for Bia. So therefore, even though we have witnesses that say they were absolutely alone with each other, that's not tantamount to saying that there was bia. So we'll say second line on 65b. Ubeisil savri aminon hein hein edeichod hein hein edebia. Beisil says no. We do say that ultimately, again, the same edos for yichod is the same edos for bia. Okay. Umodim vaday ben eskashim mina erusin. But we will say that if they got divorced from Erusin, then ultimately everyone agrees that Edei Yichud is not Edei Bia. So therefore it turns out that this case actually has nothing to do with our topic. Right? So again, this is a totally separate machlokas. That do we say that Edei Yichud, if you have witnesses that a divorced couple were alone with each other, do you say that testimony about Yichud, their seclusion with each other, is effectively testimony about Bia or not? That's the machlokes Beisham Beisel. But everyone agrees that if they were divorced from Erusin, meaning there was no previous intimate relationship, everyone agrees that Edei Yichud is not Edei Bia. They must say, so that's fascinating, but not at all helpful for our case at hand. Remember, what's our case at hand? Reuben and Rachel come before us. They say, we're married to each other. All we have is an Eid Echad who corroborates their statement. Is an Eid Echad, together with a man and woman who say they are married to each other, is that enough to create the halachic reality of a married couple? So it goes like, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Shmuel Bar Maratim, Mishmei Durav, HaMekadish Be'ed Echad, In Choshishin LeKidushin, Va'afidu Shnei Emodim. Okay, so both says, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Shmuel, say the name of Rav, a definitive statement. If Reuven and Rachel ultimately say they're married, and all they could produce is an Eid Echad, irrelevant. Or not halachically relevant. Or not halachically sound. Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, HaMekadesh Be'ed Echad, Be'dina Rabba Amri in Choshishin LeKiddushin. So this Rabba Bar Avuna said, if a man is Mekadesh a woman, Be'ed Echad, the great Beis Din said, the Kiddushin is not valid. Man Be'dina Rabba. I will say, who is the great Beis Din? So the Gemara says, my Be'dina Rabba, Rav. It's Rav. Ve'ike da'amri, Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, Amar Rav. HaMekadish Be'ed Echad, Be'dina Rabba Amri Ein Choshishin LeKiddushin. So this is just an alternate version of this. Man is the Kaddish Omer with the Eid Echad, the great Beis Din, said the Kiddushin is not valid. Man Be'dina Rabba, ultimately, again, who is the great Beis Din? Rebbe. Okay, so I'm going to say two versions, but the good news is both versions are saying the same exact thing, which is that if a man is Mekadish a woman, ultimately, again, with an Eid Echad, again, the Chap is, even if both of them are admitting is the wrong word, both of them are claiming, we are in fact married to each other, halacha lemaisa, that kiddushin is not halachically sound or valid. Incredible. So Masiv Rav Achdabai Bar Ami, so we'll say, so Rav Achdabai Bar Ami raises a kasha, Shnayim Shebo Medina Sayam. Listen to this, it's a great case, listen to this case. Right? Three people come, right? Shnayim Shebo Medina Sayam, Isha Imayim. Three people come from overseas. Reuven, Shimon and Rachel. Okay, now watch this. The Chavila Iman. I want to say there's a package of goods. Metaltalin. Movable property along with them. Now watch this. Ze Omer. Ze Zo Ishti. Ve Ze Avdi. Ve Zo Chavilasi. I want to listen to this. Reuven claims. This lady, Rachel, she's my wife. That guy, Shimon, he's my servant. That package, it's mine. Ve Ze Omer. Zo Ishti. Ve Zo Avdi. Ve Ze Chavilasi. But it sounds like kaparos. Zeh kaparos, zeh halafos, zeh halafos, zeh atanil yelech lemisa. So Rashi says, listen to this. So now you have counterclaims, right? Reuven's claiming, Rachel's my wife, Shimon's my servant, the package is mine. Shimon is claiming, Rachel's my wife, Reuven's my servant, and the package is mine. Now get ready for this. The Isha Omeres, this is great. Rachel claims, Elu shnei avodai. Reuven and Shimon are both my servants, the chavila shali, and the package is mine. So this is great. Right? Show up, right? Can you imagine you're in Beis Din that day? You get this case like, I should have slept in. Right? So I'll say, so what do we do over here? So what do we do with this case? Tzricha shnei gin. Shavua says, now in this case, Rachel's going to require two gin. Right? She's going to require a get from Reuven, a get ultimately again from Shimon. The govek suvasa min a chavila. It's interesting. And she collects her ksuva from the package. From the package. So essentially, she's going to require a get from both of them because both are required, are claiming that she is their wife. Right? Ultimately, again, but once there's a marriage, so to speak, she's entitled to a ksuva, she'll collect her ksuva ultimately again from the package that they are holding. Rashi says over here, look at Rashi, tzvicha shnei gittin. Rashi says, almost right across in Tosas, amr lo. So Rashi says, k'dei likbos ksuva samina chavila, k'lomer the olum ha-chavila munachas, at shavu elio. That was saying, now, in reality, the package is mamana mutal basafek, which means money that we don't know who the owner is. So whenever you have money that you don't know the owner is, what do you do? I know it could produce testimony, right? It's ultimate munach at shiyavo elio. You kind of leave it. You just leave it. No one could claim it. So however, if they give her a get, if both of them give her a get, then Allah says she could collect her ksuva from the package. Now, hey chitan, I'll say, what's the case? So I'll say, if both Reuven and Shimon have witnesses who say that halacha lemaisa, what? That halacha lemaisa, ultimately again, that they have witnessed, they have testimony that they married her, so mi masa amri elu shnei avada v'chavila shali, then does Rachel have the ability to make a claim that both of these guys are my servants and the package is mine? Elalav be'ed echad. Rather, Rabbi will say, it must be that what? We must be talking about over here a case of an eid echad. The tizbara, I don't understand. So let's say each of them are producing an eid echad. What does that do? The tizbara, eid echad ba'achosha mi mehemen. Rabbi will say, if you contradict an eid echad, in other words, even if you want to say an eid echad is believed somehow, some way, that's only if what? That's only if the testimony of the eid echad is not contradicted. But if somebody is contradicting the testimony of the Eid Echad, then why would the Eid Echad have any believability, any credibility? So the Gemara says, "V'tizbra Eid Echad ba'achosha mi mehemen ela l'mishri la'alma ela l'mishri la'alma." So we'll say, rather, we're trying to figure out over here halacha l'maisa. How does Rachel kind of emerge from this situation? Because remember, again, what you have over here is Reuven claiming Rachel is his wife, Shimon claiming Rachel is his wife. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So ultimately, again, everyone's going to agree that Rachel is not bound to either of these individuals. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'cha ha'chi kamer." This is what it means to say: "Tzricha shnei gittin k'dei ligbos k'suvasa min ha'chavila." So Rabbi will say, in reality, Rachel doesn't need a get. Right? Rachel doesn't need anything. She is permitted. If Rachel wants to collect her ksuva, so to speak, from that package, then she's going to require a get both from Reuven as well as from Shimon. Rabbi Meir, the Amru, and it's reflexive of Rabbi Meir says, he says, "Metaltali mishtabdi l'ksuva." Now, in general, by the way, the fact that she could collect the ksuva from movable property is interesting, because in general, the lien against ksuva initially devolves upon real property. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the lien of ksuva devolves even upon movable property, and therefore, technically speaking, when Reuven and Shimon make this claim against Rachel, she doesn't need anything from them. However, if she wants to collect her ksuva from this package, then she's going to require a get from both of them. Okay, fascinating. So Gemara says, "My havi alav." All right, let's stay on task over here, right? In other words, we have a simple question. Well, it's not so simple. We have a simple question. Reuven and Rachel are agreeing that they're married to each other. There's no machlokis over here. The problem is the only corroboration of this fact is an eid echad. So does corroboration through an eid echad, does that affect reality or not? My havi Allah. So what is the bottom line? So Rav Kahana Amar in choshesh and kiddushin. Rav Kahana says, no, an eid echad doesn't do anything. Rav Papa Amar choshesh and kiddushin. Rav Papa says, we are choshesh for kiddushin. Armoli Rav Ashi the Rav Kahana, my daitech. So Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, right? Why is it that you say that we're not choshesh for kiddushin with an eid echad? So the yalf is davar mimaman. So maybe you'll say like this. Where do we learn? I will say why. This goes back to the beginning of kiddushin. I will say, how do you know that kiddushin needs eidos? Davar from mammon. Right? I will say again. We equate kiddushin with monetary matters. Just like monetary matters need what? two witnesses to create halachic reality, so too Kiddushin requires two witnesses to create halachic reality. Say if you have one witness, even though husband and wife are admitting that they're married, halakha l'maaseh, that is not enough. So Rav Kahana, is that your logic? Well, if that's the case, ima la'alan hodas baldin kamei edim dami, af kan hodas baldin kamei edim dami. One second, okay. If you want to make a gzera shava of dover, from marriage to mamon, and you're going to say, just like mamon requires two witnesses in order to affect reality, so too, by kiddushin, you need two witnesses to affect reality. But one second. By mamon, Rabbi Yosef ben fasting halacha, which is what? Hodas baldin kamei edim. If I walk over to Reuven, I say, Reuven, I owe you $1,000. What's the impact of that statement? I owe $1,000. Hodas baldin, in other words, admission is like 1,000 witnesses. If that's the case, then why not go ahead and say the same thing by kiddushin? Steph Rabbi Yosef, both Reuven and Rachel are admitting that they are married to each other, then ultimately, again, that's hodas baldin. And that should create a reality as well. Amar lei, Rav Kahana says, no, that's not a fair statement. Hasam lo kachayiv la'achrini, hacha kachayiv la'achrini. He will say, interestingly enough, if I admit that I owe Reuven $1,000, that statement is believed. Why? Because it doesn't have an impact on anyone else. L'maisa, when Reuven and Rachel said that they're married to each other, both say that impact, that statement has a ripple effect on many other people, right? His relatives to her, her relatives to him. So therefore, I'm going to say, it's interesting. Hodas baldin kamei edim, if you want to, so to speak, admit, make yourself liable to something, that's fine when the statement only impacts you. But the moment the statement ultimately, again, goes ahead and impacts someone else, we're not going to go ahead and believe it. Incredible. So the words of Marzuchav Rav Ada Saba, interesting case. I want to say just a side case over here. Marzuchav Rav Ada Saba, Bnei Derav Mari Bar Isser. Marzuchav Osai and Rav Ada Saba were the sons of Rav Mari. What happens? Rav Mari died. They will say there was an estate to go ahead and split up. So what happens? Palik nechasayu b'hadi hadadi. So the two sons, Marzutra and Ravada, divided up the estate. They divided it up, right? Now what happened? Well, this is actually fascinating. Aslu kamed Ravashi. They came before Ravashi. Amrulei, apishnayim edim amrachmana. Now what said, here's what happened. They divided up the estate, but there was no edus on their transaction. So they come before Ravashi, and they said like this. The Torah says, Apishne edim yakum davar, right? Apishne edim yakum davar, right? Ultimately, again, right? Apishne edim or apishlosh edim yakum davar. Torah says, through the testimony of two or three witnesses, something is established as fact. So the ask Rav Ashi, listen to this. Why? What does that mean? Di bayle mehadru lamatsi hadri buhu, v'ara lo hadri. So we'll say, what they were asking was like this. Why do you need edus on a transaction? Is edus on a transaction to ensure that no one reneges, or no one kind of like tries to lie about what happened? And if that's the case, ultimately, again, we're brothers, we get along fine, we agree to the division, there's no problem. Oldilma lo mekayim yos ela b'san, or maybe transactional reality is only established through testimony. So let's say, this is a fascinating shayla. What they were asking Rav Ashi was, so again, this is actually a beautiful story. Two brothers who got along, didn't fight over money, divided up their father's estate just fine, and everybody was talking to each other. Then they realized, like, oh, do we need witnesses to this transaction? They come before Rav Ashi, and essentially what they were asking was like this: what is the role of testimony? Is testimony to ensure that no one lies, no one cheats, no one steals, no one reneges? Or is testimony just like a cog in the wheel of creating transactional reality? Right? And you need testimony in order to create transactional reality. Fascinating chakira. And so I would say, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is us, the two brothers. We're good. We're not going to lie. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to steal. We're not going to renege. So if testimony is to ensure that no one pulls any shtick, we're not going to pull shtick. But if testimony is there to solidify transactional reality, then maybe we need that in order to go ahead and affirm or concretize transactional reality. Fascinating, no? Such a fascinating shaylin testimony. Is testimony to ensure the integrity of the transaction that no one lies? Here's what it is. Is testimony there to ensure the integrity of the parties? Or is testimony there to ensure the integrity of the transaction? That's their shayla. So Rav Ashi said, "Amr lehu lo ivru sadi ela l'shakri." Listen, so he answered, witnesses were only created for liars, which is another thing we'll say. Testimony is not there for transactional integrity. Testimony is there for personalistic integrity. It is there to ensure the integrity of the parties. Therefore, again, Rav Ashi says to the two brothers, if you guys are good with each other and you don't need Eidus, your division stands without Eidus at all. Rabbi say, beautiful. Remember, we still haven't answered our question, which is, what happens, halacha lemaaseh, if Reuben is Mekadesh Rachel, right? And is Eid Echad, does that stand by itself? We'll stop over here for today, and Master Shem will answer that tomorrow. Bosai, what a daf, shkoyach. You did good. Hashem.